Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Everybody. Hello and welcome to Medium Insights on Signs of Life Radio. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and as you guys know, on the second show of every month, I have the privilege and the honor of interviewing the elite group of Forever Family Foundation certified mediums about a variety of topics as they answer the questions to which most of us seek answers to, and in an effort to learn more about their skills and abilities. So tonight, I'm really excited to have Joseph Scheel as our guest. Joe is a highly acclaimed evidential psychic medium and is certified by the Forever Family Foundation. He's also a spirit artist and an award-winning teacher who has known the presence of spirit since infancy. He's a talented expressive artist who, with the guidance from spirit, draws recognizable and accurate portraits of departed loved ones without the use of photographs and without possessing any prior knowledge about them or their physical characteristics. He's become internationally known for his accuracy. Although he was born with natural abilities, Joe's path to become the distinguished medium he is today was not without its obstacles or great inner turmoil. Bound for priesthood from a very young age, Joe found himself conflicted about his unusual abilities, and at the threshold of ordination to become a permanent deacon, he left the Catholic seminary to embark on a new journey to understand the incredible value of his gifts. He shares his talents with clients, students, audiences worldwide, teaching, speaking, performing demonstrations of evidential mediumship and spirit art, deemed by many as portraits from heaven. He's also a dynamic and creative instructor and motivational speaker, and brings his inventive and lovely style to classrooms everywhere, including the renowned Arthur Findlay College, where he serves as a guest tutor. And his website, if anybody's interested, which I'm sure you all are, is www.josephscheel.com. josephscheel.com. And tonight's main topic, we're going to be talking a bit about if there is any justice in the afterlife. You are free to call in, callers. Our phone number is 888-627-6008. But please keep in mind, good folks, that tonight's episode is for learning purposes only, and Joe will not be doing any readings, okay? So, Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Roman. How are you?
That's quite a bio that you have. It's very, very impressive. And let me tell you,
PhD would just be piled higher and deeper, you know.
I was just looking at your website and looking at your drawings. I mean, it's like you copied them off of a photograph.
It's amazing, yeah.
It's really, really amazing. So you were saying right before when we first got introduced that you reside in the western part of New York, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so when you do like readings in person, I guess you do it there, but do you do also readings over the phone?
I do readings over the phone all over the world. Yeah,
all over the world. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I know from other mediums that I've interviewed, they say there's absolutely no difference, or it's actually probably even better over the phone, because anything that you produce is even more evidential, because you can't be accused of any, you know, cold readings or anything like that, or
yeah,
you know,
it's kind of this your sensory, you're a little bit sensory deprived because you can't see the person, and so
right.
You know, when I draw a loved one for somebody over the phone, I can't really pick up on family features.
You know? Right,
and
exactly.
I'm prejudiced to it, so that really is wonderful when it can happen. Yeah.
So how do you do that? When you draw while you're doing the reading?
Normally what I do is I do a reading and I bring in as many of the family members as I can come to within the first period of time, and then I ask them which one of them would you like me to draw. And I try to draw the one that they would most hope I would draw.
Okay.
Sometimes I draw more than one. I just came out of a reading just earlier today where I had a you know, three people, a husband, a wife, and her sister were there. So I drew the sister's father, and then the husband was kind of sitting there wondering what was going on, so I drew his grandfather. So I drew two. There are sessions where I've drawn as many as 22 family members in one sitting. So that's...
Wow. That's, that can hurt your arm.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, okay.
Well, so I think they're one and the same. Actually, I think most mediums have used the creative mind or the right brain. We're learning a lot about that. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think they come together. I think the creative mind is what really brings forth a lot of being able to put the pieces together of the puzzle. You know, build a different language, a language of the heart, not necessarily the English language or, you know, French or Spanish. It comes through in such a way as, through images, through feelings, smells, tastes, you know, feelings over me, just knowledge through life being brought forward. And so I think the creative mind has always been there. I mean, I remember knowing things about people even before I could talk, my family tells me about weird times when I was little, you know, and all that type of thing. But, you know, I don't know if I knew what a medium, you know, I didn't even know what a medium was until I was about 30. So, you know, I didn't even understand what that was. I mean, I probably read it somewhere in the Bible, but, you know, passed right over it and said, you know, that sounds crazy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I always thought that I was kind of alone, you know. I didn't know anybody else was like this. I kind of felt very different. I thought I chalked it up to spiritual experiences and prayer or something like that, you know. And I didn't understand the nature of it for a while.
So you had quite a bit of turmoil leaving the church, and just kind of the conflict there, and you decided with the mediumship.
Right.
So how do you feel about religion now as a medium? Because and I'm asking you this because you were bound for that direction, and you came close to being ordained and all that. So
I think religion is kind of there's the old saying, okay, that religion is for those people who don't want to go to HU double hockey sticks, and spirituality is for those people who have already been there and they just don't want to go back. You know, it's kind of like spirituality is kind of an open-minded way of looking at things and continuing to question, which brings in, which I think is necessary in our world today and always has been, but we've got away from it. We got this separation of church and science, and I think that the science is always questioning, and I think that as mediums, as religious people, I think everyone should continue to question. There's a difference between mediumship and, say, blind faith.
Right.
You know, when blind faith comes into play, you kind of become, you believe what the preacher says, you know, and you follow what the book says, and you say, that's it, that's fundamental, I'm going to do that. And we kind of walk like sheep. I don't believe that we're really thinking on our own or taking responsibility, personal responsibility for ourselves. We're kind of putting it in somebody else's hands, so we have somebody else to either champion or blame, one or the other, you know. I think with me, I've come to the point where it's personal responsibility. I'm responsible for my own well-being, for my own moral standing, for my own path in life as a soul, as a person. And so mediumship has brought me to understand that based on many conversations with those who have passed on in the spirit world and just kind of coming to know, how could that guy come back to me? How could that lady say hello to me? That type of thing. And how could I draw that particular picture? There's so many questions that, you know, every day I work, I have more answers, but I have probably 10 times more questions about what's next, you know.
Which brings us to the question and the main topic of today's session, which is, what do you think about, you know, justice in the afterlife? Is there justice in the afterlife? And I guess that question could be divided into two different parts. I mean, there's justice for those that, you know, did certain acts here, then cross over, and I guess there's, what kind of justice are there? There's for acts committed in the afterlife as well, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, first off, I believe when we talk about justice, there's different types of justice, I suppose, but it always comes down to fairness, who's being fair,
mm-hmm.
you know, what, if, you know, is there an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth? You know, is it live by the sword, die by the sword, this type of thing? You know, there's all these types of justice. I mean, justice in our own prison system. Is it punishment, or is it deterrent, or is it reformation? Is it reteaching? You know, reforming. You know, we look at that in our world, and I really kind of look at things as above, so below. So if we're persons still after we pass, if we haven't done the work here to straighten out some things that were not so kind or compassionate in this life, we are now in a place with our same personality, carrying that same soul, that perfection within us, and constantly called to that perfection, constantly called to that kindness, that truth, that integrity, that divine, if you will. And when we're there, now we don't have any arms or legs to use to walk over to our friend and say we're sorry. Now we don't have any arms to give a hug and say, geez, I wish I hadn't said that. You know, now we don't have the voice even to say anything. And thus, mediums become an extremely important facet in that in-between the world, that communication, mm-hmm. where one is experiencing on the other side perhaps even a rehashing of life and what was good and what was bad about life. So I do believe that reformation is never closed to here or the hereafter. Right. I do believe that mediumship is often mistaken to be more about the dead, the people who have passed on, when in fact I believe that it's about really cherishing and looking at this life and saying, how can I live this life better? How can I prepare myself to be seated better in the afterlife, in the next life, if you will? I do believe in the continuation of the continuity of life. So,
right. So that, and that's from, I guess, from all the messages you get. I understand that, you know, a lot of the messages are like, while you're still on this earth, you got to do this. I beg you to do this, you know, and you probably get a lot of messages like that from people that have crossed over.
A lot of people have been brought up in what, you know, we were talking about before, is religions. And religions are a man-made or a human-made construct that is about power. And it's about control, controlling mm-hmm. masses, controlling communities, building communities. It's about the unnecessary self or ego, and often they preach and let people believe what, you know, if somebody goes to the extreme, if you will, sometimes preachers will just keep their mouth shut and let it go. You know, the original word about reformation, or the, you know, or about equalizing, or you know, he double hockey sticks, or getting, you know, you're going to go to hell, you're going to go to this place where you have to learn. And the original word in the Bible was Greek. It was Ionios, which means to be, which is a segment of time. It never said forever. It actually meant a man or person's lifetime, up to like 1,000 years or something like that. But okay. So it was considered that, and then it was changed over after many, many translations of the Bible, and you know, even in other religions of past, like Buddhism, like Hindus, we talk about karma. You know, if I mm-hmm. do wrong here, then I'll pay it. I'm going to pay it. Pay me now or pay me later, type of thing. And I kind of looked at a lot of these things. I've tried a lot of these things in my mm-hmm. in my struggle to understand what was going on with me, and in my studies as well. And what I find is, as I'm a medium, and as I begin to deal with people here, those who are angry at their parents that died, those who want forgiveness from their parents that have died, those who have, I've had people who come to me who were involved in assisted suicide, who feel terrible after the fact. I've read for people who were actually murderers. I've read for people who were, you know, going through all kinds of crisis and unethical actions in life, if you will, and asking me what will happen to me now. question we have for tonight. Is there forgiveness? Is there a retribution? Is there a punishment? Or is there an insight? In other words, we already know what's going to happen. We already have it within us to see the path of the soul, the path of that inner most important divine of us that belongs to all. And we have a responsibility. The personal responsibility, I believe, is our responsibility to everyone. You know, if we're going to be a good member of our community, if we're going to be a good member of society, if we're going to be a good father, then we make it our business to try and try again within our own human constructs and fusions.
That opens up a whole bunch of questions that I want to ask you, but you know what? We're at a point where we need to take a commercial break for our bevy of fine sponsors, so we will be back in about a couple of minutes. So stay tuned, everybody, and if anybody wants to call, you are more than welcome to call to ask Joe some really good questions. All right.
Thank you.
Stay tuned, everybody.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love Knows No Death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Ryan Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back, everybody. We are here tonight with Joe Scheel, and he is just bombarding us with information about justice and the afterlife. And before the commercial break, Joe, I'm sorry I had to cut you off, but you were really, you know, getting into this about, being a good person and being able to discern and just, you know, making your own way to enlightenment kind of thing, kind of what
right.
You're talking about.
Right.
So that was quite interesting. And let me see. So you are, you know, you're a teacher, a lecturer. And what kind of advice would you give to some of our listeners that want to dive into this a little bit more for themselves so they can maybe teach themselves and become more spiritual and maybe more be able to receive communications?
Well, I think what I would say to them is really look for evidence in whatever they're doing or whoever they're teaching. There is a difference between, say, psychic understanding, which has to do with this existence, you know, us here, reading each other's, kind of signs, symbols, our movements, even the music of life itself, our understanding of each other, the chemistry between two lovers, that type of thing. There's a big difference between that and moving through that, moving out of that human experience to a spiritual connection, a communication. And when I say communication, it's asking and receiving. It's a two-way street. A lot of people think, oh, I'm just going to sit in the quiet and listen and see what happens. There needs to be an asking, or a beckoning, if you will, like, would you mind talking to me? Let me know who you are. For instance, if someone's lost a loved one, I would ask them to sit in the quiet, you know, and go off into what I call the drift. And if to explain that, it's kind of like back when you were in school, you know, and you didn't like the teacher or you didn't like the topic, maybe
uh-huh.
It was math.
And
the teacher starts to sound like one of those Peanuts characters after a while. Their voice kind of goes away, and you look out the window and you see a leaf fluttering, or you look at the shiny bumper of an old Chevy, and before you know it, you're gone. You
mm-hmm.
know, you're in another world, and the teacher might call on you, and that startles you back. It almost like shocks you as you come
yep.
back. That place of going by that shiny bumper is, you know, it's called scrying, or paying attention to that creative, that soul, that what they're now calling the God mind, if you will, and going to a place where they can come close. It's that in-between place, like before you go to sleep or just as you're waking up. And those are the places we can actually hear our loved ones. If we ask for them, if we have a conversation and say, please show me yourself, you know, give me a symbol, a color, a sign, a word even, a touch, that, and we begin to really feel it and really hear it and really see it and know it and smell it and taste it with all our senses. And we kind of test ourselves and continue
yeah.
to ask ourselves, are we delusionary or is this real? Is this a dream? Or,
yeah.
you know, is this a tape or Memorex? You know, it's like, what is this?
I totally
you
get
know?
That because I think one of the biggest obstacles to yourself is doubting your abilities. I think that's one
right.
of the biggest things.
Right. But one of the things I would say to people is just, you know, keep a notebook of your experiences as you try to do that, and keep, you know, kind of look for the consistency or the inconsistencies even, and the types of experience it was. You know, it's not easy when we're going through a grieving time
no.
to be clear, just because we're in such pain. And it's
now,
real pain.
Does that make it less conducive to have a successful reading when somebody's like, in, you know, something just
happened? What I think it can do, it might be because we're so wanting at that point in time or so confused or we might be stuck in a stage of anger, we might not be open the way we should be to understand. We might not be as clear. And we're certainly upset, okay? And so the spirit world is not just energy. I hear a lot of people talk about, oh, the energy, it's going to affect the energy. Well, I think the conditions need to be almost perfect, you know, the environment, the weather of the day, the medium's rapport with the client, the client's, you know, the client didn't get stuck in traffic on the way there and get all bent out of shape, you know. Everything just has to be just calm and quiet. And when it is, then things can happen. Mm-hmm. Grieving is one of those things that is not necessarily a calm, and sometimes it's just a recluse from the world, so you may not even hear the medium of what they have to say because you're in such pain. So often when I see somebody come in and they're really devastated because they just lost somebody, I'll say, why don't we talk a bit, and then we'll set a time for another time.
Right,
because
right,
I just don't think it's fair to them, and for me... It's like I want it to work well. I want their loved ones to come through and be there clearly. So they may come through somewhat, but I don't know if it's going to be perfect. Each time is a judgment call. It really is a feeling and a notion that this can work today, even though they've only been gone a few days or a few weeks or a few months. You know, but I've had it happen. Both ways. I think back when early on in mediumship, I said, well, I can't draw anybody for a year. You know, and that's what was happening. I don't think that was the spirit world's fault. I don't think it was my client's fault. I think it was just my own fears and my own constructs. So I've overcome that.
Oh, okay.
And now I've watched each individual is just like the real people. They are an individual. They are as powerful as they are or as close as they want to be. You know, a child may not may come with me. A child always comes with an adult on the other side. They always do. I've never had it be anything different. And at first I thought, I wonder if the spirit world works that way. But then I saw other mediums just bringing children through all by themselves. And I said, geez, how's that happen? And I had to look at my own judgments, my own constructs. You know, if it was my child, I wouldn't want them to be alone. So I look for an adult. Before I look for a child.
Oh, I see.
So that I have them come together. So I feel safer for them. And that's just me, you see?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
What you were describing before sounded like a bit of a quasi-meditative state, you know, when you're looking at the shiny Chevrolet bumper or the leaf blowing in the wind. And it's happened to me, and it happens to everybody. We all drift off at some point.
Yeah, and it's more of a mindful state where we're observing what's going on. We put out an intention, and then we just observe what's going on. We're not necessarily, forcing anything. We're just allowing them to come close.
There's so many different approaches to communicating with this.
Right.
You know, one is like what you just described, like as a way of getting there. Another would be, you know, people talk about meditation. People talk about out-of-body experiences where
dreams.
You know, dreams, like visitations and dreams, that kind of thing is
right.
A big one. And I mean, they're all different avenues, but I think, you know, we are spirits, we are consciousness, but we know the least about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can't describe something that you're intimately aware of. It's nobody can describe it. And there's so much there that is just way beyond, I think, just our cognitive abilities as humans to be able to know. But, I mean, I think some people like yourself have gotten past certain restrictions.
Right.
And have this ability, and I'm extremely jealous because I've been told I have a little bit of psychometry in me because I grabbed this lady's ring once, and I said, it's John's, and I was right, and he freaked out, and I just guessed, you know. But it was just one of those things, you know.
Yeah.
There's some, you know, like when you get your messages, obviously you're drawing, so you're getting a lot of visual messages. Do you hear as well? Are you clairaudient or clairvisual?
All my senses.
How do they come?
All my senses become acute. I say a prayer before every one of my readings, and it's not to throw religion at people. It's something that I wrote a long time ago when I was terrified of all this stuff.
Okay. You know? Oh, okay.
And I began to say it all the time. And so I've said it with every reading I've ever done. I don't know if I always will, but I have. And it kind of gives me a time and a place to kind of look out the, you know, look, it's kind of my window and my shiny bumper, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a way for me to put myself in the altered state and be aware of the person in front of me or the family in front of me, as well as the spirit world. And I begin to see images of people a lot like I'm walking into a wedding. I see tons of people. And I see lots of faces and people, and it sounds like a wedding, too. It sounds like white noise, a lot of people, and then all of a sudden I'll catch a voice here or there. And just if you think about walking into a wedding and you walk over to one of those round-top tables with 10 people at it, and you say hello, you know, to somebody, and everybody says hello, and they all want your attention, and they all want to hear your story, and who are you, and they're introducing, and that type of thing. But you know that one person at the table belongs to the person that's sitting there with you in reality, in this world, if you will. And you want to talk to them. So it's kind of like you focus in and have them focus in on you. You blend together. I do think that this is a blending of the minds, the discarnate mind and the carnate mind. And as we blend together, I come to know them. They come to know me. I come to know what has happened, who they belong to, the love that they have, the struggles that they have, and they know mine. So they can use what I know to kind of bring it to the surface, to kind of find a comfort level with the two of us to kind of tell the story of life and bring that evidence forward for the person in front of me. Many times people will feel like they're almost with their loved one, and in a way they are. And I am blessed, and I am only grateful that that can happen for them, you know, and happen for the spirit world as well. When we talk about reformation on the other side, imagine giving a father the ability to come through and say something to their child, or giving a son who overdosed a chance to come back and tell his mother he's sorry it happened, and tell me exactly how it happened, where it happened, the street name on which it happened, so that she knows it's him really saying, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that." You know, it's important.
That's I mean, you just painted a really, really good picture. I really like that reference to the wedding table and, like, you know, how the development of the mind and all that. That's the first time I heard it described like that. And, you know, to me, that makes a lot of sense. Probably different mediums work different ways, but I like the way you work. That's
well, I think I don't think any two. I think mediums are different, and it's not about. I think mediums sometimes, some mediums anyway, get caught up in competition or, you know, he's better or she's better or this type of thing. And I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think it is we all are different, just like you and I might hang out with some guys, but we didn't want to hang out with the other guys, you know?
Right. No, the other mediums we've had on the show were wonderful people. They're totally amazing, and they all have their own abilities, just like you do. And, you know, personally, I've gone to see a few mediums. Some which were really amazing, and some which were stinky, like really bad. it's just
that's somebody who doesn't understand what they're doing, you know. Doesn't understand the importance or the integrity of it, I would say the ethical responsibility of this. Being given a gift, you know, you can be given a gun and use it properly, or you can be given a gun and be an idiot. You know,
that's where the Forever Family Foundation comes in, and Winbridge Institute, and, you know, the good work Julie Beischel is doing, and, you know, Bob and Frank Ginsburg, and, you know, certifying mediums, because there's people out there that might even think they're mediums, but really they're not. And maybe they're not trying to deceive people, like they truly think they're mediums, but really they're not. You know, so I think it's definitely a God-given talent that, you know, that could be developed to a certain extent. And the way that you described it is just, wow, it's mind-blowing. So getting back to our little topic about justice in the afterlife. What do you think, like, let's say, the worst people that ever walked the face of the earth that we know, there's probably worse, but, you know, like, let's say Hitler and Stalin, where do you think that they are in the afterlife? What do you think happened to them?
I had a friend that wrote an interesting book about that, that Hitler went to heaven and he went to heaven.
I almost spilled my drink when you said that.
And he found out what he did, and then, you know, whether he was going to be allowed to stay or not, you know, this kind of book was, anyways, it was a novelette, I guess. But anyway, my vision is often, I want to back up sometimes from things. We get so microcosmic, just like pinpointed on issues that we can lose the room, if you will, the big picture.
I apologize for that microcosmic question.
I want to answer it because you know, as much as I disdain Nazism and the whole thing, I really do. I disdain this.
Of course,
I see a lot of a lot of it. Now, I mean, coming through, and it brightens me. I have to say, I'm a human being, and I see the movements of things, and it frightens me.
Of course, just look at Washington.
Okay, right. So I want to. So I look at it, and I say, okay, so where's the Reformation for somebody like that? I do believe that the door to Reformation is never closed to even him. And the reason being is that there's a movement to the world itself. That person did not get there by themselves. The person in the White House didn't get there by himself. Mm-hmm. You know, no one gets there alone.
Right.
We are a community. We are a nation. We are a world full of people. And we need to decide what's right and what's wrong. And we know what's right and what's wrong in our own hearts. But we get confused. We get competitive. We get to these places of the haves and the have-nots, and we begin to separate. We begin to take our corner, and we continue to be the humans fighting with humans instead of souls, loving souls, and seeing everyone at a soul level. That, you know, that Indian word of namaste, you know, it means the God in me sees the God in you. Mm-hmm. So that's where we begin. We don't begin with, I don't like your hair, I don't like your skin color. It begins with, I see the God inside of you, and that's where I want to begin our communication and our talk. And when mediums talk to the spirit world, the spirit doesn't necessarily come with a color or a creed sure, they have that from their background in this world, but that's not the first thing a medium sees. Or if they are, then maybe they have a piece of evidence that's important, but yet it's not where we're coming from. It's coming from a soul-to-soul, mind-to-mind level.
Right. Very, very fascinating. Yeah. Okay, you know what? We got to take our second break.
Okay.
So we're going to hear from another list of fine sponsors, and we will be back. Stay tuned, everybody, for a really fascinating show.
Thank you.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken. I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at ForeverFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back, everybody. We are in our last segment of the Forever Family Foundation Signs of Life medium show, and we've got Joe here with us, and we were just talking about a bunch of cool things, but what I wanted to ask you, Joe, is, you know, a lot of people fear the afterlife, fear, you know, they fear dying. It's one of the, probably the biggest fear. Is the fear of dying. And what would you say to those people that fear death? What do you
well,
think?
Well, I think it's a call to truth. It's one of the first questions I ever ask my students is do you fear death? And the ones that tell me no, I say, okay, what if I were to come at you with a car at 60 miles an hour right now? Would you not be afraid of leaving this place and leaving this world? And they get it, you know. If you had the gun to your head, if you will, you know, would you be afraid? Of course you would be. You know,
right.
Why? Because of unfinished business? Because you didn't get to say goodbye? Because you never got to do that thing, that bucket list thing you wanted to do? Because you would go to the unknown? I've known people that were afraid to go because they had a husband in spirit that was cruel and abusive here. So they didn't want to go and see them there because they thought they'd just be back in the same boat again, you know? that type of thing. So there's a lot of human fears of death that can motivate people to maybe stay alive longer, or maybe just not see things clearly because of fear. And fear sometimes is known as the false evidence appearing real. I believe that from what I've seen with death is, and from the people that have passed on, is that I have never had any evil, never had any negativity like that. Now, that doesn't mean I haven't had personalities come through that were mobsters or something, you know,
right.
that were horrible people here on Earth. But I haven't had them come through other than showing their personality with the same perspective or paradigm of the world or of their family. They weren't coming back to punish or haunt or do
right.
any of that. I mean, it's not Hollywood, okay?
Right, they were coming back in the form where they would be recognized, so it could be evidential.
Exactly. So I do what I feel when I've gone into this space that I go into and I'm with them and the evidence is really working and I have a good day, say it, so to speak, I almost want to stay there myself. You know, it's so peaceful. It's non-combative. It's a oneness. It's a feeling of love all the way around. And that love is what really I think is we're all called to, is loving one another. And whether it be here or there. And if you're afraid of death, then begin to love those around you. If you're afraid of death, maybe it's a healthy thing. Maybe you ought to think about what if that person next to me that I've been screaming at for the last 4 days was all of a sudden gone and never to be here again. You know, it helps us to kind of see things from a different perspective, a different paradigm, and make better choices about how we treat others. It might be just the lady at the cash register at the store, you know, that she might be slow, she might be a little bit tardy in how she gets things done, she might not know how to count the change. I can either blow up and get mad because I got an appointment ahead of me, or I can say, is there any way I can help you, or I can just be patient for once in my life.
Okay.
You know,
I should think about that next time I'm in a traffic jam.
Me too.
Let me tell you.
Although where I live, the traffic jam is getting stuck behind an Amish guy.
Oh. Well, I was in Chicago last weekend, and it's just horrendous there.
It is.
An hour and a half, 2 hours. It's crazy. It's nuts. I'm in Albany right now, and a traffic jam here is about 10 minutes. It'll cost 10 minutes.
Yes. Not bad.
So I'm originally from Montreal, where it was very, very wicked traffic. I mean, it would cost you a lot of time there. But those are very insightful words there, Joe, in terms of, you know, what you expressed as people having fear of. A lot of it was on this side of the realm, on this side of the veil, things that they fear that, you know, they haven't accomplished or doing anything on this side. What do you think about the fears that people have about the other side? Is there... You know, do you encounter that kind of fear?
I think that if a medium is responsible and they're doing the job well and they're present and they set themselves in the right space, the right environment to do the reading, and they do their very best, I think the spirit world is there for them. But the spirit world has their frailties too. They have their inabilities to get the word across correctly, or they're trying to mimic what it is, or kind of play charades, if you will, to get the word across. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes they're afraid that they won't have another chance, or they won't have time to do it. But that's where it becomes our responsibility as mediums to be the best mediums we can possibly be, so that when we have an opportunity to speak to them, we're there for them. And it's a huge responsibility. I think sometimes people play at this when I don't play at it. I find it to be very serious, very important work.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So I feel that, you know, I haven't really felt any other fear except that they parents that have wished they'd said they love you more. You know, like a father that never said it and
right.
wants to say it so badly, and we all fall into tears. Or a son that wished he had done that extra hit, you know, or, you know, the children. You know, I remember reading for a woman whose child pushed themselves in one of those little walkers down the cellar stairs, and while the woman had been turning to rinse the binky. So she looked away for 1 second, and child went. And so she lived for 25 years without going to a medium that could come through or bring her daughter through.
Right.
And finally came to me, and I drew her daughter. And it's not that I could do that for everybody, but I had a good day, and a daughter may have been more advanced on the other side and able to come through at that point because she was only 2 when she passed. So now she would have been, 26 or 27 years old,
right.
In this life. So perhaps there's a, we don't know everything about the other side. I can't stand when people think they do.
I even think the spirits that cross over, you don't become, if I become a spirit, I don't become omni-Roman. I don't know everything. I think
you're right. Right. I think we have a quick flash of clarity, but I think there's things to learn.
I think
learn.
A couple of
there's
aha
always
moments
evolving
would occur.
Going on, So
absolutely, and I think in a way, I don't look forward to dying, but I look forward to crossing over. You know what I mean? I have to be with my son again.
Yeah. Which is, I really don't think there's death. That's the thing. I think we keep using that word, but
yeah,
I would also want to throw it out. There is a change called death.
There's a transition.
It's called that, but there really is just a transition from this life to that life, and a continuation of the love. That love is always calling us to it,
okay.
And love is where heaven is. If we think of a heaven, we think of a place where love flourishes the most of all, and it's always there calling us. So when we ask or we have just a thought away from our child, from our loved one, our wife, whatever, we are just a thought away from, and that thought is love. It's pure love. It's pure light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I see it anyway.
Right. Well, you're kind of choking me up here, Joe. That was quite some words of wisdom, and I can just totally use those words selfishly. I thank you for that.
Thank you.
And I'm just trying to think if there's any other things that we want to talk about. Well, before, we're getting to the end of the show, and I just wanted to let everybody know about your wonderful website, and I just want to tell people, go visit there. It's got your, pictures of the work that you've done, your pictures, and it's also got your bio about you, as well as, where you're going to be, your appearances and everything. There's so much. It's a plethora of information. It's very nicely organized, so I
Somebody
urge everybody to go to...
not me. I can't take credit for it.
Well,
it makes me sound
really
good.
Nicely done. Whoever
good,
did it did a really good job.
Yeah.
And so that's josephshield.com. And nice picture of you there in your blue shirt with your probably somewhere on your property. It looks like a rural area.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was great talking to you, Joe. And I really really appreciate
Thank you,
the conversation and the insight. And I look forward to to speaking with you again.
That'd be great, Roman.
I've been doing the show for a while, and hopefully our paths will cross again. I'm sure they will.
Thanks for having me on, Roman. Really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, and thank you for the wonderful words of wisdom. And
God bless.
With that, we just want to say good night to everybody. Thank you for listening, and we just want to we're always going towards the fact that our loved ones are just a heartbeat away, and science is definitely on its way to proving it. So thank you, everybody, and good night.
Peace.